lesson we started, or started last week on the subject of patience. And just by way of introduction, again, just by definition of patience, it's bearing pains or trials calmly and without complaint. When you think of patience, it means it's not hasty or impetuous. Another definition, I didn't put all of these in your notes, but patience means steadfast despite opposition, difficulty, or adversity. In other words, patience means you hang in there. Patience means you stay the course no matter what the circumstances are in your life or around your life. You exercise patience. It means long-suffering. It's fortitude. It's forbearance. It's constancy of just staying in there. We noted last week's lesson, the introduction, the Bible requires patience. In 2 Peter 1, the things that we are to add to our faith, one of those things is patience. We noted some examples of patience, that we have a God of patience. Jesus was patient. We're patient. We've heard the patience of Job. And then we began what in the outline that I've given you, some areas wherein we need to exercise patience. When I finished last week, I didn't get through, but just a couple of these last week. But Sharon, at the end of the lesson, said, Brian, I have some things you can add to that list of wherein we need to be patient. And I said, oh, what are those? He said, well, the emergency room at the hospital. You go there, you're going to stay a while. The doctor's office. Traffic, Clarence, need to be patient with him. Last week we just got started, and number one, need to be patient with ourselves. In our patience, we possess our souls. In other words, there's an individual responsibility for us to stay on God's side. No matter what. You and I have that obligation. It's in our charge. Can't blame circumstance or anybody else. You know, when you can't change the circumstance, you change your attitude. We have to exercise patience with our souls. Number two was in our homes. And we know this just as a few illustrations. Husbands and wives need patience with each other. Young couples, especially when they begin their marriage, two lives from different places, backgrounds, ways of doing things, all of a sudden come together in a ceremony and leave together. Good luck. Now you have to mesh together, coming from all those different directions, places, and attitudes and emotions. All right, now, stay together. We need patience. Parents need patience with children. Leaders in the congregation need patience. We need to have patience in several areas. With the elderly, you know, we took care of. I mean, when I was a youngster, both sides of my grandparents lived with us when I was really, really small. We took care of Christine's parents. You know, when they were elderly for many years. It takes patience with that. So we need patience in our homes. That brings us to number three. And you know, that's as far as we got last week. Patience in soul winning. In Proverbs 11, verse 30, he that wins souls is wise. But we need to be patient in that in many situations. Think of the example of Noah. In 2 Peter 2, verse 5, it says, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. I didn't put all of these in your notes, though. But 2 Peter 2, verse 5, Noah was a preacher of righteousness, bringing in a flood upon the world of the ungodly. Preacher for 120 years. And the only one that went into the ark was his immediate family. Three sons and their wives, and Noah and his wife. How would you like to be a preacher and preach for 120 years, and that's the only response you receive? When you're bold, you know, Christine, I've been here for 34 years now. But we've had responses. think about Noah. And even sometimes our missionaries, and when they go out in foreign fields and the struggles they have, and many times it's just a really small group, and yet they need patience and remaining steadfast and not to be discouraged. But in soul winning, Priscilla and Aquila were patient in teaching Apollos in Acts chapter 18, beginning of verse 24. All he knew was the baptism of John, but yet he was very eloquent and knew scriptures. But Priscilla and Aquila took Apollos aside and were patient in teaching him. You know, ministers in the congregation need patience. In 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, Paul said, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all patience or long suffering and doctrine." See, some things just take time. They take time. To the congregation, Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. I didn't put that one in your notes. 1 Thessalonians 5, 14. Paul said to the brethren there, "We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men." So all of us, whether it's the minister or member, whatever our relationships are, there's going to be a requirement of patience. Leaders in the congregation need to be patient. There's certain things that cannot be attained overnight, that we can't accomplish in a single bound. It takes time. Number four in your notes was in persecution. These are the consequences that we reap for Christian living. There's going to be some hardships come our way just because we let people know on whose side we stand. There will be hardships or difficulties just when we let people know to whom we belong. Not everyone will appreciate that kind of stance. And so it almost invites those difficulties. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning at verse 4. "But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by unfeigned love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness." So patience in all the things that we do. There's going to be persecutions. 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. "So that we ourselves," Paul writes, "glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure." Congregations in the first century had to endure for hardships, difficulty, dangers. And Paul says, "I appreciate your patience." He complimented them. Patience and faith and endurance. Number five, along the same line of trials. In troubles of any sort, meaning or trials, the struggles of just daily living again. The roadblocks. I'd like to have a smooth sail. You know, I wish there weren't any speed bumps or ruts. Or detours. Just as in life, it's going to happen in our spiritual life too. There's going to be trials. James 1 verse 2. "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this." So when those times come, know this, that the trying of your faith works patience. One reason why we know how to suffer in older age is because we've suffered when we were younger in age. When we suffered as perhaps younger in age, the consequences may have not been so severe. But now we see the consequences, or at least we think they are. They're more severe, but now we need more patience. And if I got through that, I can get through this. Knowing that the trying of your faith works patience. Not going to be eliminated. The gospel message is not come, Jesus didn't say, come follow me and I'll eliminate all your troubles. He didn't say that. If he did, we'd have a full house. Everybody would be here. Come follow me, eliminate all your struggles, all your hardships, all your financial woes, all your problem relationships. That's not the illustration. That's not the invitation. All who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, troubles and trials. We learn patience. We learn it not from just reading about it. Or hearing it in a lesson, we experience it. So be also, be careful what you pray for. And you know, the old illustration is, you know, one person prayed for patience to receive tribulation. Romans 5 verse 3 says, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation works patience. So if you're going to say, God, I pray to give me patience, God's going to give you tribulation. Because tribulation works patience. You don't need to be patient directly. That one, you're a patient person. Now, patience is something we learn from our experience. So know that. I know one person I asked or heard the story, but teacher was asking, what's your favorite Bible verse? The person replied, oh, I like Mark chapter 1, verse 9. I said, well, quote it for me. He said, well, the verse says, it came to pass. He said, go on. He said, no, that's the only part of the verse I like. It came to pass. Of course, the verse continues, it came to pass when Jesus and his disciples were walking along the shore of the lake. But no, he said, it came to pass. That's right. In your life and mine, the things that come to pass. Number six. Need to be patient in regard to church growth. To church growth. Can we have slogans in life about growth? You know, the best fruit ripens the slowest. I think it's going to take time. You can't plant corn in the morning and have roasting ears for dinner. It takes time. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 6 says that Paul said, I planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gave the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. That's right. Even when Christine and I or our family came here, we had to build, when we started preaching and worshiping with the brethren here, build on someone else's foundation. There are already brethren here. When we came, very few. I think there were a dozen the first Sunday we met. But I remember there was one of the preachers in this congregation. I didn't meet him. We moved to Chula Vista, the San Diego area, in 1974. But there was a preacher named Brother Baker before we arrived. Yeah. And then there was C.B. Middleton. Then we met him, you, C.B. and Myrtle Middleton. Then there was Don Kern and his family. Then there was Dwight Petty. And then I followed Dwight Petty. So we're building on someone else's foundation. And no doubt, you know, they pressed that, but they, many of because most of them have passed on now, so they're not seeing the fruition of their labor. They planted. Another water. But God gave the increase. I thought about that when I visited Palmer Wilson. He's in the hospital, in the hospice. And I did one of the things that we kind of shared together. I just said, Palmer, I'm just so sad you're not going to see the future of this congregation. And even with his children, I said, Jeremy is going to be a song leader in this congregation. congregation, he became one. Dr. Palmer didn't live to see that, but I mentioned that to Palmer. You're not, what you have done with this congregation, it's just sad that you're not going to see the fruition. Things of the future. But in regard to church growth, it just takes patience. It takes patience. There's also spiritual growth among members that cannot be measured by numbers. People grow spiritually. And I don't always, I see the fruit of that. I don't, but it's immeasurable. Because I don't know how to measure your spirituality. But I just know people have expressed sometimes to me, or I overhear in conversations, the things that they that you talk about spiritually, and about the congregation, and about your faith. You think mission accomplished. Church growth takes time. In waiting for the coming of the Lord, number 7. Date setters have been wrong through history. But ultimately, and I'm not going to spend some time on that. That'll be another lesson. But ultimately, heaven is our hope that we patiently wait for. And here's the verse. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll read the whole verse. I just put a sample in your notes. But 1 Peter 1, verse 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Christ Jesus, that fades not away and is reserved in heaven for you. That's right. We have a hope. I'm waiting for that. We're living our lives in great expectations. There's certain blessings that God gives us immediately in our prayer life, in our daily living. Abundant blessings from above. But there's one blessing that I need to endure to the end to receive. And we need to patiently wait for that. That's an inheritance. It's reserved in heaven for us. In James 5, verse 8, be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draws nigh. There's a song that was in a song book that we had before, the one we have now. But I appreciate this. This is a song that was sung at Christine's grandmother's funeral. And we've sung this before. But the title of the song is Heaven Will Surely Be Worth It All. And it's the words of the song. Often I'm hindered on my way. Burden so heavy, I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, Heaven will surely be worth it all. You guys get the message? I'm hindered. I sure am sometimes. Burden so heavy, I almost fall. Then I hear Jesus sweetly say, Heaven will surely be worth it all. We need to believe that. The second stanza. Many the trials, toils, and tears. Many a heartache may hear appall. But the dear Lord so truly says, Heaven will surely be worth it all. Toiling, in the verses, it's always the pain, the struggles, the heartache. Toiling and pain I will endure till I shall hear the death angel call. Jesus has promised, and I'm sure heaven will surely be worth it all. That's incentive, that's motivation for you and me to remain steadfast. We need to hear lessons like what Dennis is going to be teaching on Wednesday night. The verses, the Bible verses on heaven, convince us, move us, motivate us that heaven will surely be worth it all, and that will get us through the troubles, the struggles, and the trials. At least one thing. The last one, number 8, in our prayer lives, God can answer prayer a variety of ways. Say yes. You can say no. You can say wait. Sometimes we do that with our children. They'll ask for something and I'll convince them. I'd have to even say to them, the answer is yes, but not right now. So the answer is yes, but I want it now. But yes, the answer is yes, but you need to wait. Or the answer might be, here's something better than what you've asked. God answers prayers. Some of them just need to be patient. Think about when God sent the Christ, Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time came. Wow, took millenniums. But when the time came, Galatians 4, verse 4, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. In 1 Chronicles 28, verse 3, I'll close. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 3, God said to me, thou shalt not build a house for my name, to David, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood. In verse 6, he said to me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I'll be his father. One thing, just wait. Take time. Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Mordecai said to her, who knows whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? We be patient in our prayer lives. Who knows? Who knows? In Jeremiah 42, beginning of verse 4, the Lord waited 10 days before answering Jeremiah's prayer. Jeremiah prayed. God waited 10 days. Jeremiah 42, beginning of verse 4. God waited before he answered. So I put in your notes, never think that God's delays are God's denials. So hold on, hold fast, hold out, patience, patience, patience. Several other things I could say, but just, I think you get the idea of patience is the lesson this evening. Don't forget, I'll probably forget if I quit for a moment, but don't forget, next Lord's Day, Christine and I will be out of town. Clarence will cover for me for the Bible class lesson. Dennis Everett has the morning sermon, and what's his name? Chris. Chris has the evening sermon, so be patient with them, but also be here. Be here. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation, song of exhortation. Maybe one this evening is not a member of the New Testament church. You know to be baptized for remission of sins, and maybe perhaps that's your resolve, that's your desire. You need to let that be made known this evening while we're singing this song. Or you may just want to have brethren pray with me or for me on situations in my life or events that are coming up. Help me, pray for me, call my name in prayer. So if that's on your mind and you'd like to present it before the congregation here, just come and have a seat beside me and we'll take care of that this evening. So let's